You turn in the Holy Scriptures to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We will begin our reading at verse 12, which begins the last section of the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul's concluding exhortations to the congregation in Thessalonica. And it's one of those concluding exhortations which we take for the text this evening. That will be verse 18. So let us read 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 12 and reading through the end of the chapter. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I call your attention to verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the preaching of the gospel in a moment of prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, since it has pleased thee by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, we pray that thou wilt work by thy Holy Spirit to make the word that is now brought powerful and effective in the hearts and lives of thy people who hear it. We know that its power and effectiveness is not due to any human instrument. Indeed, it is in spite of the human instrument. Grant that thy word may come with truth and clarity, and that, since it comes through weak means, the greater glory may be given to thee. Grant that through the preaching of the gospel, we may hear our good shepherd, Christ Jesus, hear his voice. For his voice alone do the sheep know, and his voice alone will the sheep follow, and his voice alone feeds our souls to everlasting life. Speak, Heavenly Father, through thy word, and feed us tonight, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The sermon was the sermon I preached in our Holland congregation for Thanksgiving Day, a fitting text for that day. Thanksgiving Day is now past, but we aren't finished with Thanksgiving, and thus this text is as appropriate today as it was on Thanksgiving Day. Because Thanksgiving is not something confined to one day, but really is the entire Christian life. Beloved, your life is to be a doxology of thanks and praise. That's what it is to be a Christian. One who has been saved by the work of Jesus Christ, saved by grace alone, the outflow of that, the consequence of that, the fruit of that must be a life of thankfulness, an unending doxology of praise and thanks to the God who first loved us and saved us from our sin. And so, we must never tire of hearing about thankfulness and the calling to be thankful. The word that we hear tonight is as appropriate today as it ever was. May it build upon the word we heard on Thanksgiving Day, that it may encourage and strengthen us in our life of gratitude. But this word, this text, is also very appropriate for us because of its wide scope. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, the inspired apostle issues the command of Jesus Christ to his church, in everything give thanks. Not only are we to give thanks to our God every day, but we are called to give thanks in everything. And that's striking, is it not? When we let our minds for a moment comprehend what all is included in that word thing, we understand what a command this text gives us. In prosperity, in adversity, riches, poverty, health, sickness, indeed, in all things that come to pass in our earthly lives, in everything, God's will for you and for me is giving thanks to Him for the glory of His name. That's the calling of the Christian. That's our joyful calling. That is the delight of the believer who has been saved by grace and brought nigh to God through Jesus Christ. This is how we get to serve our Lord and Savior, by showing Him thanks. It's an important word, because this is how we glorify God. God has designed salvation such that it would bring forth the glory of His name. And He is pleased to glorify Himself through our thanksgiving. It's an awesome calling. We glorify the God of the universe through our thanksgiving. This is an important word for us to hear also, because this doesn't come easy. We still are sinful people. And as a sinful people, we're prone yet to unthankfulness. Rather than giving thanks, we are prone to the opposite, to discontent in many things, to thankfulness only in certain things, to complaining and grumbling in many things. God's Word calls us to step back, to survey our lives and all of our circumstances in light of the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, to see our calling in that light, to thank our God from the heart, in all things, for His unspeakable and unfailing goodness to us in everything. And so, beloved, as we enter into this text tonight, what are the circumstances of your life? Where do you struggle to apply this text? Where is it hard for you to give thanks? Think about that and have your heart opened to the Word of God. The Word of God which will instruct, which will admonish, which will rebuke, which will encourage, and which will strengthen us to give thanks in everything. We consider this exhortation under the theme, in everything give thanks. In considering it, we answer three questions. The first, what? What is this command, and what do we do in obedience to this command? Secondly, when? When do we give thanks? And finally, why? Why do we give thanks? In everything, give thanks. The text comes to us as a command, and it's a command of God. Give thanks. The text doesn't specify to whom, because it doesn't need to. It's obvious. Give thanks to God. In everything, give thanks to God. Now, what does it mean to give thanks? Well, to give thanks means to give joyful praise and heartfelt appreciation to God for His goodness towards us. That's really what giving thanks is. It's to give joyful praise and show heartfelt appreciation to God for His goodness to us. It's offering a sacrifice of joyful praise to the one good God. This came out in our call to worship from Psalm 100. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And you recognize the parallelism in that psalm. Thanksgiving and praise are parallel. We thank God by praising Him. The psalmist goes on, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We show our thanks by blessing His name. And why do we do so? The psalmist goes on, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. We praise Him for His goodness. The first thing of thankfulness is acknowledging the supreme and total goodness of God. It's acknowledging what Jesus taught to the rich young ruler. There is none good but one, that is God, who is good and the overflowing fountain of all good. And when we acknowledge that God is the one and only good and the overflowing fountain of good, then we recognize and we appreciate the reality that every good thing we possess is a gift of God. The Scriptures reveal that clearly. James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17, the apostle charges the rich not to trust in their uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God. And then what does he say of the living God? The living God is the one who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Giving thanks is acknowledging God's supreme goodness and extolling Him for it, praising Him for it, and expressing to Him our heartfelt appreciation for His goodness shown towards us. Personally, this activity of giving thanks is a continuous activity. It's a life activity. The text doesn't say give thanks occasionally, give thanks once in a while. The idea of the text is continuous action. Be giving thanks. Be praising God continuously. Be showing to Him your appreciation for His goodness towards you. Thanksgiving is the way of life in covenant fellowship with God. You wanted to know what life in the covenant looks like. It's thankfulness to the God of our salvation. That's how we live for His glory. That's how we live in relationship with Him. Thankfulness. The child of God who is truly thankful takes every opportunity to thank his God. He jumps at the opportunity to speak a good word of praise to his God. His heart is swollen with appreciation for the goodness of God. He wants to show it and to speak it over and over again. Not that he can add to anything to God. No one can add to God's perfections, to his glory. Nevertheless, it is the believer's joy and desire to render unto God grateful returns of ardent love. That's what it means to give thanks. Understanding what it means to give thanks, we must let our minds then go and linger upon all of the reasons we have to give thanks. How many gifts God has given us. How great His goodness to us. Undoubtedly, on Thanksgiving Day in our service, many of those things were recounted for us. Reasons to praise, reasons to be thankful. But it does us well to recount them again because how forgetful we are and how we need to think upon these often so that it may redound to the praise and the glory of God. Why are you thankful? What reason do you have to be thankful? Well, ranking first in the heart and mind of the believer are, of course, the spiritual graces that the ascended Christ pours out upon us from His throne at the right hand of the Father. The spiritual blessings bestowed upon us and upon His church through the operation of the Holy Spirit. These are the best of God's good and perfect gifts. The richest of the riches that He gives us richly to enjoy. The spiritual blessings of salvation. And let your mind rehearse some of those outstanding benefits of the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. When we do, when we rehearse those things with a mind of faith, how can gratitude fail to well up and swell in our hearts? Forgiveness of sins. That chief blessing, that God does not count my sins against me, but casts them into the depths of the sea for the sake of Jesus Christ. That blessing, which is the foundation of peace, which is the source of joy, is freely given to me, the forgiveness of all my sins. And then the opposite side, not only has God forgiven us our sins for Jesus' sake, but He also justifies us in His blood. We are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ on the basis of His finished work on the cross, so that though I in and of myself am a wretched, filthy sinner, Yet to me is imputed the spotless and perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that now I stand before God and before His judgment seat clothed in the robe of that perfect righteousness. Is there a reason to be thankful? Indeed there is. And how much more faith, that most precious gift, faith which is our connection to Christ, faith which is knowledge of Christ, faith which is confidence in Christ, faith by which we walk in friendship and fellowship with Christ, freedom from the power and dominion of sin and the devil, the fruits of the Spirit planted in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, cultivated in our lives by the Holy Spirit, those graces brought forth by the grace of God. How many blessings of salvation. When the text says, give thanks, that's not a contentless exhortation. How many reasons we have to give thanks and to heed this command. But behind those chief blessings, the spiritual blessings, come all of the earthly goods and material blessings that we gave thanks for this past Thanksgiving Day, in which we must give thanks for every day, the bounties of God's providence which He richly bestows upon us. The bounties of God's providence which, for the elect alone, are accompanied with God's blessing so that they truly profit us and are of use to us, such that they serve not our condemnation, but serve and are subservient to our salvation. The creature which God gives, which is good and to be received with thanksgiving. Your daily bread. Bread which strengtheneth the heart of man. Each day as you partake of that bread, there's a reason to give thanks. Not only the bread, but the oil that makes man's face to shine. The wine that makes glad his heart. What reason we have to give thanks for the bounty above what we need for earthly life. And on we could go. Are you thankful, beloved? Does this command of the text come to you and connect with your heart such that you feel an earnest desire to heed the command as you think upon all of the wonderful blessings and gifts that God has given you? Chiefly the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. But also all things you need for body and soul, given to you by God, who is your loving Heavenly Father, who provides for His children. Give thanks. But now, as we continue unpacking the what of this command, we come to the question, how concretely do we give thanks? We've seen what thanking God is, but now how practically do we go about doing that in our everyday lives? How do you give thanks to God? Well, we page through the Holy Scriptures and we find there is so much the Bible teaches about thanksgiving. So much. Here's where having a catechism comes very in hand, very useful, handy. Catechism that ties together all of the threads of biblical revelation and summarizes it for us. Remember what the third section of the catechism is about. How we show our gratitude to God for our deliverance in Jesus Christ. And the catechism takes the whole biblical teaching on what gratitude looks like. And it summarizes it as two things. Obedience to God's law for His glory and prayer. Obedience and prayer. That's the form that our thankfulness should take. And so when we hear this command, give thanks in everything, here is how we carry it out. By obeying and praying to our God. Let's look at that. We begin with prayer because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. How do you give thanks? It's simple. It almost seems too simple, doesn't it? Prayer. Speak to your God, your covenant friend sovereign. Vocalize your thanks to Him. Put it into words. Give thanks by speaking heartfelt words of gratitude and appreciation to God for all of His goodness to you. It's no coincidence that the verse right before our text is, pray without ceasing. How do we in everything give thanks? By praying without ceasing. And when we do, we rejoice evermore as well. Speak to God. God is the speaking God. He formed all things by the word of His power. He lives in covenant relationship with His people by speaking to them. And one of the greatest gifts that He has given to us as human beings is the power of speech, so that we may speak back to Him. And that's prayer. It's covenant communication and covenant communion with our God. And in that communication, we are to express our thanks to Him for His goodness to us and for His gifts to us. He's given us the gift of speech so that we might use it to thank Him and to glorify Him. And as our Heavenly Father, He delights in that. You see, prayer, covenant communication, and communion is born out of the work of His saving grace in us. Prayer is a fruit of regeneration. Prayer is an activity of faith. And when the child of God prays, it's the speech of a beloved child to his beloved Father. And the Father delights to hear that speech. The Father is glorified. When prayers of thanks rise from His children and are brought to Him through the intercession of Christ at His right hand, how do we thank God? Prayer. That requires then that we think often about all of the good that God has given us. The thankful Christian often lets his mind linger on his reasons to be thankful. And that's important because so often we can be thoughtless in this life. And when we're thoughtless, we're prone to be thankless. So easy, is it not, to take God's gifts for granted, not to think about them so much. And when that happens, what happens to our prayers? They easily become robotic. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And we pray that stock phrase, but we don't have any concrete content in mind as we do so. Everyone's gotten a mass-produced thank you letter, right? Letter comes in the mail from some company. Thank you, valued customer. We couldn't be the company we are without you. What do you do with that? You don't take a magnet and put it up on the fridge because it's really meaningless. There's no heart in that. You know that that's one of 10,000 that ran off the printers at the company. Well, how often are our thank yous to God just like that? Our thanksgiving and our prayers must arise from a heart that is on fire, inflamed with love for God, and inflamed with a desire to glorify Him by thanking Him for what He has done for us in Jesus Christ, and for all of the gifts He bestows upon us. We must pray from the heart. Connected with that, we give thanks through prayer, not only privately, but in our public prayers. Public prayers, which are the public worship of God. The corporate worship of the church is the collective sacrifice of thanksgiving. It is the people of God coming together and with one heart and one voice bringing their thankful praise to God. That's part of the calling of the text, give thanks. Go back to our call to worship. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Enter into His gates, not just any gates, but His gates, the gates of His courts, into His temple, into His tabernacle, into His house of prayer. Assemble yourself with the communion of the saints together to praise and to thank the God of all grace. The calling of the text is to come to church and give your thanks to the God of your salvation. That also means if we don't want to come to church, if we'd rather be doing other things on the Sabbath day, if we're quick to find excuses not to come, that's an indicator we're not very thankful. We don't see thanking God as important. There we must hear that rebuke of the Word of God too, because how easily spiritual sluggishness and laziness creeps its way into our lives. A lack of interest in worship prayerlessness is a symptom of thanklessness. But prayerlessness will in turn stifle thankfulness even more. The call of the Word of God is, come to the public assembly of the saints and worship the Lord. So, how do we show our thankfulness to God? By prayer. But now, secondly, by obeying God's Word. God has given us 10 commandments. And the 10 commandments are His God-given guide to gratitude. The 10 commandments, we understand, is not a roadmap to heaven. It's not showing us how to get ourselves saved. Rather, the 10 commandments are a guide for how we show thankfulness to the God who has already saved us in Jesus Christ. A God-given guide to gratitude. We need that. Thankfulness sometimes can seem like an abstract concept. Well, you want to see what it is concretely. You want to see what thankfulness looks like. Obedience to God. That's the shape of thankfulness. What does thankfulness in action look like? Obeying God's Word. We are to thank God not only with our lips, but also with our lives. We are not only to thank God in word, but also in very deed. And this must go side by side with prayer. Prayer and obedience to God's Word are the way we show Him thanks. Prayer without obedience is lip service, and obedience without prayer is heartless. Obey. But now, how particularly do we obey God and show thankfulness to God for the things He has given us in Christ and all of the other gifts that He has given us? We thank God for His gifts by obeying Him in the way we use those gifts. Or to put it another way, we give God thanks for His gifts by using them only as He directs in His Word and only for that one high goal of the glory of His name. It's important. Giving thanks to God for His gifts is not this. Thank you, Lord, for what you have given me. My food, my clothing, my income, my house, my family. Now it's mine. And now I get to do with it what I want to do with it according to my will, according to my discretion. Oh no. Here's an important area where God's gift giving differs from gift giving among men. When God gives a gift, it remains His. What God gives, He entrusts to our stewardship and then lays upon us the calling to use it according to His Word for His glory. His Word directs us how we are to live and how we are to use every earthly thing that passes into our hands. And we're to use it to thank Him and glorify Him. An example, 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 18. Paul says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now this, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. You see, that's how the rich are to show thanks to God for their riches. Do good. Be rich in good works. Be willing to distribute to the needs of your poor brethren. Be willing to communicate. Obedience to God's Word is how we show thanks. Thankfulness for food and drink. How do we show that thankfulness? There's more than just saying, thanks, Lord, though that's an important part of it, praying before we partake of our meal. But thanking God with our food and drink means I obey God's will in how I eat and drink and what I do with my food and drink. I don't make it my God. I don't make any mammon my God. Rather, I use food and drink and all mammon in the service of the one true God. I eat and drink unto God's glory. I use my food and drink to give me strength so that I may more diligently and cheerfully serve Him in my vocation. All that is given to me, I use in service to Him. Obedience is how we thank God. How do we thank God for our income? Yes, by thankfully obeying the eighth commandment, but also by using it wisely, exercising good stewardship. How do we show thanks for our heritage of faith that the Lord has given to us? By being zealous in holding it fast and teaching it to the generations to come. And by living that faith that we confess with the mouth, living it in the midst of the world. How do we show thankfulness to God for the gift of our congregation? By loving this household of faith. And when there's conflict among other members in the household of faith, we seek to resolve that conflict and make peace according to the biblical way. And so much more. How do we show thankfulness to God for the gift of our good Christian schools? By supporting them, by using them, by using them to instruct our children in the faith and in the covenant community. We thank God for His gifts by using them for His glory. We've seen what thankfulness is. We've seen how we show our thankfulness to God in prayer and obedience. Now we come to what is perhaps the most challenging part of the text, and the part of the text that our flesh says impossible when it hears it. And that's the whole matter of when. When. When does God call you and me to give thanks? The answer is the first words of our text. And these words are put up front so that they may have the emphasis, so that they stand right there at the beginning, so we don't skip over them. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks to God. Now, we need to look carefully at the language of the text here so that we clearly understand what this means and so that we may avoid a possible misunderstanding which could lay an unbearably heavy burden upon a saint, a burden which the text is not intended to make us bear. Let's look closely at what the text means here when it says, in everything, give thanks. Everything. Everything means every life situation, every life circumstance, every life event, everything that you experience in your earthly pilgrimage, in your lifetime in this world, everything that happens to you, everything you do, everything, without exception. Lord's Day 10 gives us some examples that we can think about. Rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, plenty and scarcity, health and sickness, riches and poverty. We can add to that list. Coronavirus, not coronavirus. Employment, not employment. And many more. Every season of life, every circumstance, every situation is in view here. The text is saying, in all these things, give thanks. Some of these things, we can say, yeah. I can give thanks for that. At least I feel more ready to give thanks for that. Health. I'll be thankful for my health, especially right now when there is more sickness spreading through the land. I'm thankful for my health. We, of course, have to be careful. It's not that good things are always easy to be thankful for. In fact, in prosperity, we're prone to be unthankful. We're prone to take them for granted. We're prone to not think about God's goodness to us. So we must remember that important admonition too. In prosperity, remember to give thanks. Give thanks for the good things. Don't take them for granted. Then there's the bad things. Thanks for health, but what about sickness? Isn't sickness an evil thing? It's bad. What does the text mean in connection with sickness? Or adversity, or the suffering that I have in my life right now. What does this text have to say about that when it says, in everything give thanks? Now we must understand the language of the text carefully again. When the text says, in everything give thanks, it's not saying that we rejoice in evil itself. It's not requiring us to rejoice in suffering in and of itself. That would erase the distinction between good and evil. The text is not saying that evil does not exist, or that adversity doesn't hurt, or that there's no difference between them. But what the text is saying is that in everything, that is in connection with everything, in the midst of everything, give thanks. Even in the midst of suffering from evil, even in the midst of suffering from adversity, you are to give thanks. Even though that adversity is not something you rejoice in itself, you are yet to give thanks to God in the midst of it. In everything, give thanks to God. This idea is found in Philippians 4, verse 11, where Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The Christian must learn in whatsoever state he is to be content and to be thankful to God. That doesn't mean that the adversity doesn't hurt. That doesn't mean that tears are bad when we're suffering loss. It doesn't mean those things, but it does mean we are to be thankful to God even in the midst of those things and in connection with those things. Now, how does that work? Here's where the Bible truth and Reformed doctrine of God's absolute sovereignty must come in to the picture. We give thanks to God in everything because we acknowledge and we confess that God sovereignly controls all things. No, more than that, He has sovereignly ordained all things and brings all things to pass. Absolutely everything, whether we call it good or bad, is under His sovereign control and does His bidding and is His servant to accomplish His will. In all things give thanks to God because you recognize He's at work in all things. In adversity, in suffering, when you experience evil, give thanks because you recognize God has given that to you and God has given it to you for His good purpose and God is working sovereignly, powerfully in that adversity to do you good. His ways are not our ways. His wisdom far exceeds ours. He is much higher than we are. Very often, we will not understand. We will not see, at least not immediately, the good He is doing. That's where faith comes in. Faith trusts God. Faith sees the unseen. And is confident of what these eyes can't see and what this mind can't fully comprehend. Faith rests in God. And faith gives thanks in connection to everything, in the midst of everything, in prosperity and in adversity, even when great evil comes into our lives by God's sovereign will and by His sovereign hand, the child of God is called to give thanks to God for what He is doing and what He is accomplishing. To help make this clear, let's think of a few examples. Think of a man who has just lost his job, a Christian man. He's now facing financial difficulties. In that moment, his heart is not joyful that he has this affliction. He does not rejoice in that trouble in and of itself. But he trusts in the Lord. He depends upon God to provide for his needs. He gives thanks in the midst of that adversity because he understands God as Heavenly Father has given him this adversity. And that God as Heavenly Father is teaching him important lessons through this adversity. He's learning to trust. He's learning to depend upon his God. He's learning to be a better steward of his resources. He's been given opportunities to teach his children about trusting in God. And he's more and more seeing all of the good that God is working through that adversity. And so he gives thanks. He may even say, I thank thee, Lord, for this adversity. Not because he delights in it in and of itself, but because he delights in what God is doing with it. The Christian spouse who comes out of the doctor's office having learned that her husband has terminal cancer. She doesn't come out of the doctor's office rejoicing in that diagnosis, nor does the Word of God tell her that's what she must do. The Word of God tells her, though, give thanks in all things. And by the grace of God, she does. How does she do it? She gives thanks to God for the comfort of the gospel, knowing that this life, short, brief, and filled with suffering that it is, must give way to an eternal weight of glory. She gives thanks for that comfort of salvation in Jesus Christ. She gives thanks for God's mercies, which are new for her every morning, sustaining her and enabling her to bear up under this affliction that He has sovereignly given her. She thanks Him for His mercies shown to her through friends and family and church. She gives much thanks, and indeed her heart rejoices even in the midst of that sorrow. Parents who have a wayward child, the calling of the text is give thanks in connection even with that. That doesn't mean we rejoice in the waywardness of that child. That doesn't mean that we are thankful for the waywardness of that child, but we do thank God in connection with it. We thank Him for the comfort of His gospel. We thank Him for the promise that He will save every one of His elect children, no matter how far wayward they wander. We thank Him for His judgments, which are so high and past our finding out. And we submit ourselves to the mystery of His sovereign will. In all of these things, you see, the calling comes, give thanks. That doesn't mean we delight in suffering. That doesn't mean we rejoice in those things in and of themselves. But we give thanks for what God is doing, the good He is working, and in that we rejoice, and in that we delight. So what afflictions do you have in your life right now? Where is it hard for you to give thanks? In connection with what does this text come to you and say, give thanks to God? Perhaps it's COVID and everything that's going on with COVID. It's hard to be thankful sometimes, isn't it? But God is in sovereign control over this virus. It's His servant. He sends it where He will have it to go, and it does what He would have it to do. Our calling is to submit to God's sovereignty and to give thanks and to have the eyes of our faith open to what good God is doing through it. How He's prying our idols from out of our fingers. How He's showing us how fragile normal life is. So that our love for this world may be loosened and our desire for heaven may be quickened. How He is teaching us to set our affections on things above. How He is trying our faith. And that for good. We give thanks to God in this affliction and for what He is doing by it. And whatever other afflictions are in your life, give thanks to God for His sustaining grace given to you. Give thanks for the good He is working through it. Give thanks for the refinement of your faith that He accomplishes by it. For the growth in patience and sanctification He gives you through this adversity. If you're suffering under the heavy hand of God's chastisement for sin, give thanks for that. For His heavy hand will turn you back to the path of righteousness and the path of salvation. In everything, give thanks. In everything we can. There's nothing in which we cannot give thanks. So let's apply this for a moment. A few applications. It's three lines of application I want to trace out for a moment. Concretely then, how do we give thanks in all things? First application is, remove whatever spiritual roadblocks stand in the way of giving thanks in everything. And one of the most outstanding spiritual roadblocks that we set up for ourselves is self-made conditions for thankfulness. We make our thankfulness and our happiness dependent upon our circumstances in our life and whether we like those circumstances or not, rather than basing our thankfulness and happiness upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us and God's sovereign control over all things for our good. We like to try to dictate the terms to God as to when we're going to be thankful. I'll be happy and thankful when the Lord arranges my life this way. When He takes that away, when He gives me this, when life looks like this, then I'll be thankful. It's so easy to think that way. But that's our sinful flesh. Because our sinful flesh would much rather be comfortable than have us conformed to the image of Christ. Many things that are comfortable don't get us anywhere. Spiritually, God is wiser than we are. And God knows that many uncomfortable things, things we call adversities, are in fact the best tools for conforming us to the image of Christ, doing us greater good. And so He sovereignly gives us those things. And it hurts. But faith sees what's happening here. Faith sees that these uncomfortable adversities are tools in God's hands to get us somewhere spiritually, somewhere we would not get if we sat in prosperity. Adversity is God's tool for conforming us to the image of Christ. There we have a reason to give thanks in everything, even to say, I thank Thee, Father, for this adversity. Though it hurts me, I see what You're doing with it. You're conforming me to the image of Christ. There's nothing better than that. Another roadblock. It's discontentment. As Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 11, he learned, he had to learn in whatsoever state he was, therewith to be content. That's a struggle for our flesh, is it not? Because by nature we are not content. And when we are not content, we are not thankful. Discontent and unthankfulness go together. They're twins. Just as thankfulness and contentment are twins. When one is content, one will be thankful. And when one is thankful, one will be content. Where there is discontent in our lives, we are called to uproot it by the Word of God. 2020, this year. Has it been a year of giving thanks in everything? Or has it been a year in which God's people too often reflected the Israelites grumbling their way through the wilderness? That's humbling. It's humbling for me, and I know for you too, when we think how often we are discontent and unthankful to God in the midst of both prosperity and adversity. Let the Word of God prick in our hearts and prompt us to pull away these spiritual roadblocks to our thankfulness. Finally, a third roadblock. When we focus on the bad and ignore the good. Our sinful nature is prone to do this as well, isn't it? To see the bad things as the biggest things and to dismiss the good things. We focus and fixate on the bad and it swallows us up. I like to call that a personality trait. Call it pessimism, but really what it is it's an unbiblical form of thinking. What's the biggest thing that should dominate our vision? Jesus Christ! What God has done for us in Him. And when our eyes are fixed on Christ, then all of the things we call bad in this life shrink to their proper size and how minuscule they are in comparison to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Focus your faith on Christ. The gospel is where we must always go. The gospel grounds us. The gospel is the spring, the fountain of thankfulness. Focus on Christ. Hold on to Him by faith and thankfulness will blossom. A couple other applications. Going back to what we saw in the first point, how do we thank God in everything? Prayer. Praying in everything. Praying in connection with every life situation, every circumstance, in prosperity as well as adversity. Prayer. Praying without ceasing. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer is a means that God uses to strengthen us in adversity. We are weakest when we are praying the least, because we're not walking then in close connection with our God, talking with Him, communing with Him, which is a means that He uses to strengthen us to face adversity. Walk by faith. Faith that is lively is faith that is talking to God day by day, hour by hour, communing with Him. Pray without ceasing, and you will give thanks in everything. Notice that supplication and thanksgiving aren't opposed to each other. The Apostle says in Philippians 4, to bring both thanksgiving and supplication, and that's an important point here too. Even as we give thanks to God in everything, that doesn't mean we're not asking Him to lift His hand from us or remove an affliction from us. That Christian wife whose husband lies upon his deathbed, she may yet pray for his healing and recovering, even as she gives thanks to God for the comfort of the gospel that sustains her as she walks through this valley. Thanksgiving and supplication go together. And giving thanks in adversity then keeps that adversity from consuming us, dominating us, controlling our thoughts and actions. How do we give thanks in everything? Pray in everything. Finally, obey in everything. That's how we show our thanks to God as well. Obey. Follow God's word, even when it's hard. That's our human nature again, isn't it? We want to make God's commandments situational. When the road is smooth, then obedience seems like a good course of action to take. But once things get hard, surely God needs to relax His requirements a little bit. No. God's word is the same. In prosperity and adversity, His commandments come to us. They are the same. And our calling in everything is to obey in everything. Show our thankfulness to God by obeying in everything, glorifying Him with that obedience in everything. Even when it's tough. We can think of so many circumstances, can't we? God's word says, honor. Honor authority. That's hard right now. That's hard. We don't like authority. We don't like many of our authorities. We would like to think that because things are hard right now, the law should be relaxed a little bit. That's ingratitude speaking. Gratitude to God recognizes that all in authority are the ones God has put there, and He's pleased to rule us by their hand. And so we show our thankfulness to God even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of a time that is hard and difficult, by honoring that authority. Holding fast to our covenant commitments when things are difficult. With all that's going on in our world today, it's hard for the Christian schools. Decisions have to be made. School boards are putting in extra hours, and we don't necessarily like all the decisions that might be made. But God has given us the gift of our Christian schools, and in hardship, we show thankfulness to God by obeying His word and holding fast to our covenant commitments. Supporting the school board, rallying around the schools, using the schools for the education of our children, and so much more. We get the point. We show thankfulness to God by obeying in everything. Well, now we come to the last question. Why? Why? What's the reason? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That sums it up. Why must we give thanks in everything? Because it's God's will for us. And that means that this is what pleases God. This is what God desires of His people. This is the way He is pleased for us to glorify Him, by showing Him thanks in everything. This is the will of God concerning you and concerning me. We must take that to heart. The text makes this personal. This is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. He wants you to give Him thanks in your situation, in your circumstances, in your adversities, right now, and all of life. This is God's will. For the saved believer, the regenerated child of God, that's enough, isn't it? That's enough. We don't need anything more. This is the will of my Heavenly Father, whom I love, and my desire is to obey Him, and to glorify Him, and to thank Him. This is His will concerning me, and I will strive with all my God-given might to carry out His will. But we can't do that of ourselves. We don't have the strength of ourselves. That's where that phrase, in Christ Jesus, is so important. Here's where the possibility lies. Here's the power by which we may follow and heed the will of God. In Christ. This is God's will towards us in Christ. It is His will revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's God's will that we give thanks to Him in light of all that He has done for us in Jesus Christ. We are to give thanks for all things in connection to Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have an inexhaustible storehouse of reasons to give thanks. And in Christ, we have power to give thanks. When we look at our life circumstances in light of Christ and what He has done, everything changes. Every hardship changes. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Giving thanks, being content, even in the hardest of adversities, in Christ you can. And by God's grace, you do. If you ever think you can't give thanks, you've lost sight of Christ and what He's done for you. How He came into the world to sow light and life for you through His bitter passion and death. How He has reaped the harvest of salvation blessings that He might bestow them abundantly upon you from His storehouse. How He has prepared a table laden with the bread of life for you, His people. How He extends and gives to you the cup of salvation which only ever runneth over. How He has died to pay for your sins, to earn for you everlasting life and salvation. Think of Christ. See what the will of God concerning you in Christ is. You'll give thanks. We belong to Christ, body and soul, and in belonging to Him, we have everything. May we, in Christ then, give thanks every day and in everything. This is God's will concerning us. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this word which instructs us, which rebukes us. We pray that Thou wilt work by Thy word in our hearts, that we may be strengthened to live a life of thankfulness to Thee, and to give Thee thanks in everything, whether in prosperity or in adversity, for the glory of Thy most excellent name. We ask all these things.